Welcome to CFRI Cystic Fibrosis Community Voices, a video podcast series created by and for the cystic fibrosis community.
So thank you for inviting me to speak here tonight. I'm really happy to be talking with all of you and talking to everybody who's listening in on our podcast. So the theme of this talk is paying for CF care, financial resources for the CF community. And this is a topic that's really near and dear to my heart because I feel like every day I'm talking to people about financial resources. And there are a lot of reasons for that. I mean, the Bay Area, cost of living is really high. And so I see families every day who are struggling to make ends meet, trying to make their mortgage payment. And when you add to that a situation where, let's say there's a parent who's taking time off work to care for their child, or there's someone who's going out on disability so they can take care of themselves and their CF, it can be really expensive very fast. I'm thinking of another situation that I saw very recently where a family got a new insurance plan and they had this crazy out-of-pocket expense where they have to pay $14,000 as an out-of-pocket before their insurance will start kicking in. And you know, this family, just to kind of give you an example, they're not the Rockefellers, right? I mean, they were earning $60,000 a year. So $14,000 when you're only earning $60,000 is a huge difficulty for them. And so the good news is there are resources that are available. And there are a lot of resources that are available for everybody, regardless of what your income is. So I like to say that this talk is available for everybody because there are programs, you know, people are often surprised by what's available that they may not even thought of. A lot of times families will say to me, oh, you know, my income is too high, I'm not going to qualify for anything. And there are many, and they're very happy to see what the resources are that are available. So this talk is for everybody. So we'll cover a variety of topics in this three-part podcast series. So the first part is really going to focus on income-based supports. So what do you do if you're taking time off work to take care of yourself with your cystic fibrosis? Or what do you do if you're taking time off work to care for a family member? You know, what are the programs that are out there to help support you? So part two of the podcast is going to look at just navigating financial expenses and looking at financial resources to help with hospital bills and to help with medication co-payments and those types of expenses. So part three is going to look at just the whole other range of programs that are available. So there are nonprofit foundations that can help to pay for things like travel and lodging expenses, that can maybe help to pay for rent or bills when you're in the hospital. So again, there's a lot of programs that are available, and we're going to cover them in each part of this three-part series. So there are some limitations on financial assistance. I wish that I could give everybody a big bag of money who I'm working with. I wish that there was universal health care and there was equity in our healthcare system and there weren't some families who had egregious expenses. Until we have that kind of a situation, you know, I'm definitely here where I work, and there are social workers at each individual hospital where you get your care, your family member gets their care, who are available to help. And usually what I find is that when I really sit down with a family and we look at what their expenses are, you know, we're able to pull together some kinds of resources to help with the financial burden. So it's always worth looking into what the resources are that are available. And so there's no way I can cover all the programs that are out there. You know, some are very specific to the region where you might live. And so what I'd like to do is talk about kind of a snapshot of what the different programs are, what categories are there for assistance, and let you know where you can go for extra support. So what I would definitely recommend is, you know, I mentioned this earlier, talking to your clinic social worker. They should know the resources that are available for your specific region, for the particular age of the person with CF, and they're going to be a great resource for you. The CF Foundation also has their new Compass program, so if you've never heard of this, and it's an amazing resource, I think it's only been around for a couple of years. They have case managers who are knowledgeable about medication expense programs, about, you know, insurance benefit programs, or just a wealth of knowledge. And I would recommend even maybe talking to both. You know, because there are so many programs that are out there, you know, why not see, you know, what one person has to suggest, and maybe someone else will have some other suggestions. It doesn't hurt to get more information about the choices that are available to you, especially because there's no kind of magic wand solution. Okay, so our first program, we're going to look into income support. So again, what do you do if you're taking time off work to, you know, take care of your CF, or you're taking time off work to care for your child? What are the programs that are available? So people may be aware of the Family Medical Leave Act. You know, this act allows you to take off 12 weeks per year to take care of yourself, your own health condition, or care for a family member. You're eligible for this if you've worked for a company with more than 40 employees, and you've worked at least 1,250 hours within the past year. So if you've met those criteria, you should be eligible to take this time off. The problem is the Family Medical Leave Act doesn't actually mandate your employer to pay you when you're taking the time off. So this is where I'm going to talk about the programs that are available for support. So if you're taking time off to take care of your own medical condition, then I really want to look at what are the disability benefits that are available to you. So disability is a program that will pay you income if you meet certain medical criteria and you're unable to work. There are also certain disability programs that are available to people who have never worked, like children who meet certain medical criteria. So we're going to talk about the full range of disability benefits. So the first program that I want to talk about is private disability. So these are private programs that could be through companies like Liberty Mutual or Unum that you get through your employer. And if I could give one piece of unsolicited advice to everybody who is listening and everybody who's here in the room today, is that if your employer offers you a private disability program, you take it. Because bar none, this is going to be the best paying disability program that is available to you. And I know a lot of people who they don't sign up for this program when they meet with their HR department and start a new job. They think, oh, the premiums are too high, I'm never gonna need this. And when push comes to shove, after a few months of being on this program, it'll pay for itself. So this is the one that's really gonna sustain you, especially if you're out long-term. So if you are ever offered this program, or you know someone who's going to start working at some point, whether it's your child or your neighbor or your colleague, I can't recommend these programs highly enough. So another program I'll talk about is California State Disability. So this is a California program. There may be something similar in your state. California State Disability is available for people who live in California and who have paid into the California State Disability System through their employer. There's also the option to pay into state disability as a self-employed person, but you have to elect to do so and you pay a premium, but it is an option that's available to you, which is definitely worth noting. I've met a lot of self-employed people who they don't even know that disability programs exist, and so they don't even think to apply for one. So disability is definitely something really helpful. So California State, there's a 7-day waiting period, and then once you've reached that 7-day waiting period, you can apply for disability benefits. And so if you're going to be in the hospital for 2 weeks, maybe disability could be an option for you. It could be that your employer might have some policy where you have to use up your sick and vacation time first, or maybe they can integrate benefits where you get a little bit of your paycheck from disability, and then your employer kind of tops off the rest from sick and vacation time. And so that's a really helpful way to go if your employer allows that. So very helpful program. It's only available for 1 year. So that's something really helpful to note. So if you're anticipating an extended period of time off, maybe you're going to be getting a lung transplant, or maybe you're just gonna be out of work and you don't really know when you're gonna be going back. If you're getting to the 6-month mark and you're thinking, you know what, I just don't know if I'm gonna go back yet, start thinking about Social Security disability. Social Security disability takes a long time to get going. It can take 6 months just to get the wheels turning. And so I never wanna see people in a scenario where their state disability runs out, you know, the year has gone by, and they don't have their backup plan in place. So another piece of unsolicited advice, if you're gonna be out for a long period of time, after that 6-month window, start thinking about Social Security disability. So some things to say about Social Security. Unlike California State Disability and private disability programs that kind of rely, for the most part, on your doctor's discretion. If your doctor signs off on the disability, for the most part, they're going to approve it. Social Security has some very strict medical criteria that have to be met in order for them to grant benefits. And the criteria, unfortunately, just got even stricter fairly recently. So I have a couple of slides I'm going to show you that specifically go into what are the criteria for a child, what are the criteria for an adult. So the medical criteria have to be met in order for Social Security to be an option. There are also two different programs within Social Security that look at what your household's income, that look at a set of financial criteria. So one arm is called Social Security Disability Insurance, or SSDI. And this program, you pay into through working. So you work, you have your paycheck, you pay into Social Security. If you earn enough work credits by working for a long enough period of time, recently enough to when you apply for disability, then you could be eligible for disability benefits. So you may have gotten a statement in the mail from Social Security that says, you know, if you were to retire at age blah de blah de blah, this is how much you would earn. If you're to become disabled, this is how much you would earn. So that's Social Security disability benefits. The nice thing about that is there's no income criteria. You're eligible for these benefits if you've paid into the system and if you meet their medical criteria. So the other arm with Social Security is called Supplemental Security Income, or SSI. So this is a program for people who have not worked. Maybe there is a baby or a child or a teenager or a young adult who just, they don't have the same kind of work history, but they meet the medical criteria. They also have to meet a set of financial criteria. So they'll look at your household income. If it's a child, to look at what the parents' income is. If someone is married, they'll look at what their spouse's income is. You know, just to give you a ballpark, if it's a couple, the income can be around $3,000 a month. They'll also look at the assets, what you have in the bank. And so there are these financial criteria, but if you meet them, it can be a very helpful program, and it's definitely worth looking into. So, kind of a snapshot of what the medical criteria are. I'm not going to go into detail about this, but this slide goes over all the different criteria. You don't have to meet all of them. You can meet just one of them. This is for children. So if you meet either A, B, C, D, E, F, or G, you could potentially qualify. So, for example, they would look at your FEV1 score. And I put a little link on the bottom of the slide that shows you the disability website where you can go, and they have a chart where you can see, you know, what the FEV1 score based upon how old the child is, you know, once they start actually even getting FEV1 scores, how old the child is, what their weight is, what their height is, and what their score is, and if they might qualify. They look at things like if you've had more than 3 hospital stays in a year, if you've had things like a spontaneous pneumothorax, and then if you meet a couple of criteria like having IV antibiotics for more than 10 days, having a period of hemoptysis requiring hospitalization, if you need a G-tube, if you have diabetes. So these are just examples of things that Social Security will look at. This is the slide for adults. It's pretty similar to kids. There's just a small little discrepancy in that they also look at the 6-minute walk test. And there is one thing for children who are under 6 that they don't obviously look at for adults. So if you think that you might meet criteria for Social Security disability, I would recommend talking with an organization called the CF Legal Hotline. I'll have their phone number here on this slide, so it'll be there that you can look at. They're amazing. They are staffed by attorneys who will help you with your disability case from the very beginning. And if they help you, they have an incredibly high success rate. So you may hear, oh, Social Security, they deny everybody in the first go around. It's really hard to get Social Security. And it is. But if you work with them, they really know the ins and outs of the process. So they can talk with you about the case and let you know if they think you'll meet criteria and really help you with the process. They'll work with us here at the doctor's office. And they're phenomenal. And they can be free to work with. So it's a tremendous resource. So just something to keep in mind. I'm just going to put just a little kind of a bug in your ear about disability. I often work with some adults and they just don't really know whether it's the right time to go out on disability. You know, there's a lot of reasons to keep working, right? There is income, you want to earn the same income. There's a lot of reasons you might love your job. And so this is a very personal and a very difficult decision for a lot of people. One thing I just kind of want to put out there, I heard about this amazing study, actually from the CF Legal Hotline, that was done in 2012 that looked at people with cystic fibrosis and when they went out on disability. And I actually asked the attorneys at the CF Legal Hotline to get a copy of this study. I couldn't find it, but I wanted to find out the specific criteria, you know, what specific FEV1 scores were for people who went out and what time. They couldn't get it to me by the time of this presentation, but I'm happy to email it to anybody. My email address is at the very beginning of this presentation, and I can email you a study if you want. But the essence of it was, if you go out on disability before you're too sick, right, before you're really debilitated, their FEV1 scores actually went up after going out on disability. And it was because they actually had more time to take care of themselves. They had time to, you know, do their 2 treatments a day. They were more rested. And so this just always stuck with me as something to think about if you're trying to make that really difficult decision about going out on disability. And I think it's, you know, you can't put a price tag on quality of life and your health, right? And so it's just something to factor in when you're thinking about this decision. So In addition to programs for income support for people who are going out on disability, there may also be programs to help support a family member who's taking care of someone who has CF. So a lot of the programs that I'm most familiar with are here in California, and I'll talk mainly about those, but it'll give you an idea of some questions to ask your CF center, your social worker there, you know, what might be available for me. So in California, if you have paid into California State Disability, then you are eligible for what's called paid family leave. And this can be available to you after you give birth, you know, after you've maxed out on your own state disability. There's some bonding time for 6 weeks to care for a child. There's also after you've had this program for a year, you can reapply. So if your child has to go in the hospital, you can apply for 6 weeks to pay for them. And so it used to be really strict on which family members qualified, but they just opened it up to, now it's to care for a child, a parent-in-law, grandparent, grandchild, sibling, spouse, or domestic partner, which, you know, we have very non-traditional families, right? And so it still doesn't cover every category, but it covers more than it used to. So this is a really great program. If you happen to work in San Francisco, at least part-time, there's a new program for people in San Francisco where they will top off your salary when you're taking that initial bonding time to care for a new baby or a new child coming into your family. So they'll top off what paid family leave will pay. And paid family leave, they just change the rules. It can be somewhere between 60 to 70% of your salary. Now your employer can top that off to make it 100% of your salary. So it's a really helpful program. So if you're taking it apart from the bonding time, it can be intermittent. You don't have to take the whole 6 weeks all at once. You can take it throughout the year. So it's a really good program. In-home supportive services is one of my favorite programs that's out there. And there are other states that have an in-home supportive service program. It's not just California. Unlike paid family leave and paid parental leave, in-home supportive services is based on income. The person who has CF has to have Medicaid, or in California we call it Medi-Cal. But if they do, this program could potentially pay a caregiver, maybe someone in the family, or maybe someone you just know who you want to help babysit for your child when you're at work or help take care of your child. If someone is doing medical treatments like helping with medications, sterilizing equipment, doing chest CPT, doing, you know, monitoring while the child does the vest treatment and making sure they're doing their huff coughs, you know, at the right intervals with the vest treatment. If you're doing these paramedical services, they could potentially pay you a salary every month to care for your child. And a salary is not insubstantial. So I know families where maybe a mom has been able to stay home and care for their child and earn maybe $1,500 a month to take care of their child through this program. So it's a tremendous program. It's a little tricky to get going. And so I definitely recommend working with your social worker very closely and letting them know if you run into any hurdles. But when it works extremely well, and it's a tremendous sort of assistance for people. So that's just kind of a brief snapshot of some programs that can be available for caregivers. There's also, when looking at income, there's some programs that might be available through your county. So if none of these other scenarios apply to you and you're not getting any income through your work and you have kids at home, there's a program available. It's a federal program called Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, or TANF. In California, we call it CalWORKS. And they could pay you an income every month to care for your household, and there's a benefit for each child in your household. There's also the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. In California, we call it CalFresh, and they can give you a debit card every month that you can, or an EBT card that you can take to your grocery store and buy certain groceries. So it's another kind of income-based program that can be available for people who have limited incomes that can be very helpful and a great source of assistance. So, as I mentioned, I can't cover everything, but I really want to direct people to resources of where they can go for further assistance. You know, who can they talk to really look at their situation on an individual level and see, you know, what programs might they qualify for. So information about disability benefits in your state. There's this amazing resource, Disability Benefits 101, or db101.org. I know the person who actually put these websites together. There's one for every single state, and they're a phenomenal resource on disability benefits and Medicaid benefits and all different kinds of scenarios, and they're state specific, and it's a phenomenal resource. You can go to your employer to find out, you know, hey, what are the disability benefits that are available to me? Because let me be honest with you, a lot of people don't really know the disability benefits they signed up for. And that's okay. If you've never been in this situation before, it's not common knowledge. You know, you won't really have known what the disability programs are. So you can always talk to your employer and just find out, hey, you know, do I have a private disability plan? Do I have state disability? What do I have? And then you'll kind of know what your options are, and you might know how much of your salary they would pay. And it's just kind of something good to file away in the back of your mind if you anticipate at any point needing to apply for disability benefits. You can talk to your clinic social worker. They can kind of help you figure out what your options are, where to go for help. Your local human service agency, if you think you might qualify for something like the TANF program or the SNAP program. The CF Legal Hotline that I mentioned, if you ever think you might be applying for Social Security disability benefits, I can't recommend highly enough talking to them. They're a phenomenal resource. And the CF Foundation Compass program. There's their phone number here, and they can really work with you on different medication programs and, you know, really looking into you and seeing what you might qualify for. So I know it can be a little tedious to listen to me just kind of rattle off all these different benefit programs. I'm going to try to apply these to real-world scenarios of things that people listening and people in this room might have encountered. So I have a couple of case examples throughout this talk that I'll just be kind of summarizing at the end of each podcast, a case example and some ideas of things that might apply for that particular case. So let me introduce you to Lacey. Lacey's our first case example. She is a one-year-old toddler who's kind of had a rough go in her first year of life. She's actually been hospitalized 3 times so far for her CF. And, you know, mom is really concerned about how she's going to make ends meet. Ideally, she'd actually like to stay home and care for Lacey. And she's wondering if there's some way that she could make this possible. So for those who are listening in and for those people who are here in the room, you know, out of anything that I've mentioned, do any ideas come to mind of programs that might be available for Lacey? Yes. In home supportive services. It's a great takeaway if you can possibly qualify for this. So I'll kind of go through the different options. So at first, mom, when Lacey's first born, mom takes paid family leave to care for a newborn and to get her own state disability when she was pregnant. She happened to work 8 hours in San Francisco, you know, per month and or per week, and so she got the paid parental leave. If mom leaves her job and they only have, let's say, dad's income in the household and their household income is reduced, you know, maybe they could look at Lacey applying for Medicaid or Medi-Cal. And then if she gets the Medi-Cal, mom can apply for home supportive services. And since Lacey was in the hospital 3 times, that's one of the criteria for SSI. So Lacey is also eligible for SSI. So mom leaves work, but the family brings in $850 a month for SSI, $1,500 a month for in-home supportive services. Now, I kind of quote the $1,500 because that's an example of what somebody might earn, but it's very case specific. It can look different depending on each individual person. But those are just, you know, some examples of programs that people can qualify for. So again, talk to your clinic social worker, talk to these resources, and see what programs might be available for you. So that concludes our first podcast looking at income support services for people who are, you know, either taking time off work for themselves or who are caring for somebody else. Please stay tuned for our next podcast. Our next podcast, we're going to be looking at navigating medical expenses. So how to deal with hospital bills, how to deal with medication copayments, and all those types of expenses. So please stay tuned.